Now, next week, curlew chicks hand-reared by scientists will be released into the wild as part of a project to save this species from extinction. There are just about 100 breeding pairs left in the country, so their future isn't looking too good. But farmers and scientists are trying their best to keep them going. There's a new publicly funded $25 million project led by Athlone ecologist Owen Murphy, looking at a better future for curlew and other breeding waders along sites in the west, the northwest and the Midlands. And farmers will be paid to support these birds on their land. Good morning, Owen. And good morning, sheep and beef farmer Jim Flynn, just outside Durham-Shambo in Leitrim.
Morning, Ella.
Jim, I'm going to start with you. Remind me of your memories of the call of the curlew when you were younger.
Well, there was a lot of curlews in the areas down in the boglands, I suppose, them times. And if you were on the bog or if you were doing hay, if you heard the curlew call and the old people would say, oh, the rain is coming. So that was going on nearly as the rain bird in them times. But there was no different than any other bird. There was plenty of them around, so
plenty of them. We have a little sound of the curlew call now. It's a very beautiful, haunting sound.
Yes, yes.
There it is. There, and older people, you said, call them the rain bird. I never heard of that.
The rain bird. Well, maybe it was a thing, but it was all over Leitrim anyway, I know, because I was talking to a man last night and he said, yes, in North Leitrim it's the same thing. So why it was, I don't know. Maybe it was a sign of the rain. There's no forecast or anything much that time.
And when
it was
did
all
the
sign of rain.
For you, I mean, you've had them breeding on your farm, Jim, but when do you remember they started to disappear?
About 6 or 7 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. They were talking, there wasn't, I had noticed that there had gone very, very few of them. So I knew it was two pair and I contacted the wildlife officer. He came out and we couldn't get them the first year, but the next year he came along, he paid a lure to call them. And yes, they reacted to the lure. So they were delighted, that there was some left in the area all the time.
And Owen, you are coordinating this new $25 million project, which isn't just about the curlew. It is about breeding waders. I mean, there's something like 22 pairs of red shank left, 800 pairs of lapwing left in the country. So they all need a bit of help. The curlew, though, it doesn't help itself, does it? I mean, it needs a very particular kind of landscape that doesn't really exist in many parts of Ireland, but they also nest on the ground.
Yeah, Ella, this is the problem with this, I suppose, suite of species, the waders, as you refer to them. They have a number of things in common, and although they're different species and use slightly different breeding areas, they all nest on the ground. And I suppose that makes them extremely vulnerable to any pressure or any change that happens on the ground. So the big decline in most of these species has happened since the mid-80s. And a number of factors, I suppose, are driving that. But our changes in farming methods, the timing of what we do on farms, our forestry policies, I suppose, board pneumonia and our commercial peat production has removed some of our pristine bogs. So there's various pressures. And I suppose you talked about it a little bit earlier on the show as well. Recreation is also, so there's pressures from all sides on these birds. They would have originally developed this technique to breed in wide open landscapes, and what they used for defence was camouflage and evasion. So they would have, they're a very wary bird, they're very cryptic, so they hide, both their eggs themselves and their young are very, very well camouflaged into pristine habitats and landscapes. So anything that changes that landscape or habitat will have a knock-on effect on these birds.
And when we think of predators, Owen, we're thinking about the fox, the crow, the mink. These are species that will eat the chicks and the eggs on the ground.
Yeah, we refer to those species as generalist predators. So I suppose any animal that's a generalist and can adapt and take food from various different sources tends to do better than those who are very specialised. So foxes, as we know, I mean, it's a most magnificent animal and extremely intelligent. And, they can eke out a living in various parts of the country. So as we change landscapes and I suppose maybe blocks of forestry or in some instances where farming practices may have stopped, that scrub and woodland starts to build back up again. These harbour a lot of these animals. They like woodland, they like scrub for their dens. Mink are a non-native. So these predators, I suppose, just have the upper hand at the moment because of the landscape that they're in.
About 7 million of the 25 million will go to farmers for measures to support breeding waders. Jim, just talk a bit about what you will do as part of this project.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to compensate farmers. There was no compensation this year, so we have to acknowledge that the farmers was very agreeable. We'll have to say that for them, because we had up a net around in one man's in the middle of a meadow where there was a breeding curlew, and we had it there for 3 weeks, and he didn't put out fertilizer, or he was very agreeable. We could walk down through his meadow, and other people then where we walked through meadows checking to see could we get a fine nest. There was no problem with the farmers. So it would be nice to be able to acknowledge that to the farmers, that there would be a few pounds going or a few euros going to them. But for us, it's just a matter of trying to, if we get a nest, to fence it, and that's it, and try and keep down the predators to a certain level.
That's a big one. Owen, just finally, I mean, do you feel optimistic? It's sometimes hard to feel optimistic for the future of the breeding curlew in Ireland. But do you feel optimistic that it can find a sort of a bit more of a stable footing in Ireland?
Yeah, I certainly am optimistic. I suppose with the level of funding that now is now going into projects such as the Breeding Wader EAP, and we will be working in partnership with Acre CP teams, with the like of Corncraig Life, Life on Macare. So there's lots and lots of different projects at the moment. And I think collaboration is probably the key. If we can get these projects to work together so that a Breeding Waders EAP is building on top of work that has already been done by Acres or by National Parks and Wildlife Service farm plans, well, then there is some hope. And I suppose where we still have breeding populations at the moment, it's key that we stabilise those populations in those core areas. And then as greater change happens over the landscape, maybe they will get to repopulate certain other parts of the country. But as Jim said, we're reliant on farmers. Instead of seeing it as a compensation, I see it as payments for delivering a service. These farmers, if they sign up to projects such as these, I look at it as like a biodiversity dividend, and it may be appealing to farmers in this particular time, with fluctuations in prices, high input costs and climate change, the resilience you talked about earlier in the programme, payments for implementing the services that are protecting these birds may become part of what farmers rely on as their yearly incomes.
Okay, well listen, best of luck with it. We'll stay in touch with you about the project. Owen Murphy there in Athlone and Jim Flynn in Leitrim.